Art to me is beauty. It decorates life and makes it better. Art has the ability to create joy. Beauty and joy are intangibles. In my life, when you add surprise to the joy and beauty, that combination can have the ability to move me spiritually, to leave me speechless and in awe. Those who write and create music are artists. Musicians bring that art to life through their skills and talent with their instruments. They take it off the paper and into sound that can move us all in a myriad of ways. And although I'm a visual person, when I hear beautiful music, it can stop me in my tracks. Music has been an art form that I've always connected to since I was a preteen. I've always been wired to react to music. Different music can affect me in different ways. Certain upbeat, energetic sounds and rhythms invite my body to move in response. Other slower, soft music I have found can soothe me. A voice and lyrics added to music can move me to tears or laughter. Music that features strings like cello, violin, bass, harp, and guitar are the sounds that seem to speak to me the most. But in addition to the sounds of the instruments, there's another layer to music that appeals to me. It's the lyrics. I love words. They paint the picture of what the artist wishes to convey to the listener. When artists write their own music and then perform it, there is a real great chance that I will be able to catch a real part of who they are. Since my own personally painful and challenging childhood, I have been graced with enough healing that I'm able today to lay down my emotional armor of self-protection to risk sharing some real parts of who I truly am. And I have found that I, in turn, appreciate others opening up and offering bits of their life stories and how they have trudged through pain, fear, and other life's hills and valleys. When other people grant me glimpses of their raw vulnerability, of who they are and where they've been, I honor it. And when artists set them to music and sing them to me, it moves me in such a way that I can only describe as sacred. But I don't live in the deep truth of life all the time. I need to balance those moments with rocking revelry, of loud, energetic music that makes me smile and dance to words of anger, rebellion, and celebration that we can all relate to in life. This music festival called Mile of Music and the offspring of the many live music engagements that happen throughout the year here in the Valley because of it is a thing of living beauty in itself. It keeps on creating connections between those of us that choose to put ourselves in their presence by taking in the music and the artists putting it out there. When audience members and artists collide, life changes them in ways out of our control. That is where surprise, beauty, and joy erupts in my life. And what could be better than that?
The first time I experienced what I consider the best of what live music can be was when I was in high school at a show by the Milwaukee-based band Little Blue Crunchy Things. They played a lot in my hometown, but my friends and I also traveled to as many of their shows as we could, including to Shank Hall, where they were very well known and loved. Their fans were the best. We knew the words, we sang loud, we knew the moves, and we danced all night. It was a true shared experience. We were part of the Little Blue family for a while. This particular band had a special way of connecting with the crowd. They had entertaining band members, particularly the very charismatic lead singer. They had good banter and stories between songs. They encouraged crowd engagement. For example, there were some songs that people jumped on a certain word to, or a song where we all were encouraged to keep getting lower until we were practically on the floor, for those of us who were able. They even had a secret song that they would only play at Halloween, which made sure that we all showed up to that particular show. While there aren't many bands that I can now follow around the state to see, I feel so fortunate to have such a vibrant music scene here in the Fox Valley, thanks in many ways to Mile of Music. As you may have guessed, this is my favorite time of the year. I especially love how opportunities for original music has expanded in the last 8 years since the festival started. Seeing live music is not just a fun time for me, but it is part of my spiritual identity. Casper Terkile defines rituals as having three key components: intention, attention, and repetition. Intention refers to recognizing the meaning behind your action, considering whether it connects you to a sense of something bigger than yourself, or whether it has a spiritual or life-affirming purpose. Attention refers to being present and engaged with the moment. And repetition, of course, means doing the action often, perhaps at specific times of the day or month. These three defining features resonate deeply with me in how I consider my spiritual practices. And live music could absolutely be considered a spiritual practice for me. While I do have spiritual practices that I do by myself, the most powerful practices have always been in group settings. I am a pagan, and so doing group ritual is the most powerful connection to others, to something greater than myself, and to myself. Live music for me combines many of these elements. We learned in today's reading that research has shown listening to music is tied to group processes, such as one's sense of belonging, and that music augments our social relationships. And I have absolutely experienced this. It is rare when I don't see one of my live music buddies, as I like to think of them, at a show. These people who, like me, are at all the shows. We are the ones who are listening deeply, who buy the merch or offer a tip. We say thank you to the artists. We then often post about it, encouraging others to join us. We feel bad when the crowd behind us is louder than the music. We are reveling in the many options throughout the week to hear live music, especially original music. My listening tastes have expanded since the 90s, and I love it. In case you were wondering, the Little Blue Crunchy Things band that I mentioned earlier played for about a decade in the 90s, and then the bandmates all moved on to other projects. They graciously have offered several reunion shows every 5 years or so, and have one in the works for next spring. And I will be front and center, singing loudly and dancing along.
Hi, my name is Colleen, and I'm a member at the Fox Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. And I want to talk to you about my experience with music, and especially live music, and sharing it with other people. I moved here a few years ago, and really within a couple of days, Mile of Music was happening. And I love music, I love to volunteer. They were looking for volunteers, and so I signed up. And I thought, what better way to meet people and to do something I love, which is listening to live music. So that sold me on being here in this community. I can't say enough about Mile of Music. I've continued to volunteer with them for the last couple of years and have volunteered year-round with them at other places like Riverview Gardens and Outer Edge, Gibson Music Hall. So live music and community, just it's to me, it's a way of connecting with people without conversation. It's just having fun, maybe dancing, singing, just enjoying the outdoors, the live music, or sometimes it's indoors when it's winter. And it's just, I find it to be such a great mood booster too, you know, and especially if I'm dancing, that's just the added benefit. So sharing live music is good for my heart, it's good for my soul, and I can't wait for Mile, which is coming up so soon, and to volunteer again and see some familiar faces. So I just think it's such a gem in Appleton that we have so many musicians that are singer-songwriters, and that we have a wonderful community that supports artists. So that's it. Hope to see you at Mile. Come on down.
As we started thinking about this question today, just in the kitchen actually a little bit ago, we were remembering the fact that going to live music was a big part of how we started our relationship together, and all of the emotional experiences of being participants in live music. We went to Lilith Fair, which was a fair of all women performers in Milwaukee, and connecting us to each other.
Connecting us to the people there, to the music and the meaning,
yep.
The message.
Women's music and the power of women's music and, you know, being women in a relationship together. And
music packs so much emotion and meaning, and it communicates stories and lessons and just philosophies and beliefs, and you don't have to agree, but you can identify simply through the rhythm or the tone or the notes, or music is.
We were also talking about the fact that, yeah, it allows you to access emotional experiences, and certainly in looking back on this past year and recognizing our inability to access those emotional experiences together, it really highlighted for us, as we were talking about, how you go to be a part of a community and listen to music and celebrate artists who are on their own spiritual journey and path, and they're tapping into deep stuff personally, and it's connecting them to the other people in the audience. And as Debbie said, maybe you don't agree with every little thing, but there's usually always something that strikes a chord somewhere with you. And this
makes a difference.
Yeah, this past year was hard without that.
In the community, in the group that witnesses music with you and sings the songs with you, and the connection between the people in the audience, there's a reason why people say, I love that song. I do too. Yeah. You share something in common at that point. Mm-hmm. And for some people, witnessing live music is getting what they can out of the music while remaining anonymous within the community, which is the audience.
Yeah.
So everybody has their purpose for being there. And someone, I would venture to guess, will always take something away, no matter how large or small.
And when you were saying that, it makes me think about the fact that each of us, as we're sitting there, then also, at least I'm speaking for myself, I don't sing. I play some instruments, but I don't sing. But when I'm at a live music event and there's a lot of people, I can sing. And I'm not self-conscious. Like at the fellowship, quite frankly, a lot of times I lip sync the words because I'm like, I don't want anybody hearing what I'm mm-hmm. saying. But when you're at a live music performance and the music is going, you kind of get carried away. And you can be your own little artist, connecting with that artist, singing their song with them and with each other, and in a very, open, uninhibited way, being your own little musician and artist. Because I think we all secretly have fantasized at one point in time about being an artist on the stage, just belting it out at the top of our lungs and connecting with people in that way. And, you know,
Some of us can't, and some of us can, and music, and that's awesome.
Yeah, music is a forum for joy, and it brings people together, and like Veronica said, you know, you can sing at the top of your lungs. How many people would dance in public if it were not for a live music performance?
Absolutely.
And so it's a forum for joy.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're excited that Mile of Music is happening, and we'll connect with our community again in different ways and get introduced to new stories, new people, and develop new I guess we'll
relationships
call them,
and
relationships, and I guess we'll call it crushes, because we usually walk away from Mile of Music with
a rock star crush.
With a rock star crush on somebody.
So make the music yours.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had no idea what the Mile of Music would be like when it debuted in the summer of 2013. Being casual friends with Mile of Music founders Corey Chisel and Dave Willems, I knew it would be a cool thing for the music scene, especially for artists who like to play their own songs. But I had no idea it would become my favorite part of the summer, perhaps the best thing about living in the city of Appleton, the city we've called home since 1989. That first year, 2013, was a whirlwind. One of the highlights was seeing Melanie Flannery, who grew up in the Fellowship. She had moved to New York, pursued a career in music, and played that first mile with the Mel Flannery Trucking Company. Her performance at Mile One was phenomenal, and it was exciting to see how high her star had soared. That first year, I heard about 22 hours of music in 4 days. It's almost embarrassing to say, but I heard about 55 hours of music at subsequent Mile of Music festivals. That first year, it was wonderful to see music fans seemingly coming out of the woodwork. Old friends I hadn't seen for a long time that were huge fans, but not night on the town partiers. When I saw them, I knew it was about the music. We chatted briefly for the most part. Mile of Music fans know the festival isn't the place for old friends to catch up. Not during the performances, anyway. The Mile team even sells mints you can give at shows that say shh on them to alleviate talking during the performances. Shh. Instead, what we share at the Mile of Music is a lot of knowing smiles as we pass each other on the street or quickly compare schedules over a piece of pizza at Sal's, if we even stop to eat dinner. The 7 years of the Mile of Music in Appleton, 2013 to 2019, and back this year, 2021, which I should note is a free music festival. These years have shaped some of the most magical memories of my life. As a community of music fans, it has helped us find meaning in this shared experience, even if we aren't going to the same shows. And with hundreds of bands from across the nation to choose from every year, that's often the case. There's so much to share, but this morning I'll relate my experience at Mile of Music 6 in 2018. Many a Mile Music enthusiast has laughed watching me jog, even sprint down the street during the festival. It is, of course, the Mile of Music. And sometimes that's how far one needs to travel to get to the next best show. But another form of transportation, the bicycle, made the third night of Mile 6 a momentous night of adventure. Accompanied by fellow biker, my friend Tony Gonzalez, we zipped from the nightclub Eloquence of Julie Haltigan at McGinnis Pub to the funk rock sounds of Luthi at the Red Lion Paper Valley Hotel, and to the off-avenue indulgence of the Crane Wives at Riverside Bar and Grill. As thunder started to roar and rain to trickle down, we raced from between the locks up a secret pathway behind the old Michael's restaurant and back to McGinnis, narrowly averting the torrential downpour. as we slid our way to the front row, Philip Michael Scales silenced the boisterous crowd with his heartfelt eloquence and rapid-fire truth-telling. When the show ended, it was 11 p.m., already a late night, but not for 2 Mile 6 bike riders. Still to come were Goodnight Goldust, Me Like Bees, Audiodacity, and a 1 a.m. rescheduled show, Melodyne, to close out the night. As an aside, Lizzie Noe, a performer I did not see that historic night, was actually my favorite performer from Mile of Music 6. With her beauty, grace, and style, the singer-songwriter, guitarist, and harpist from Brooklyn captured my attention from the first note she played at Mile 6. Back to the story. As we walked our bikes down College Avenue at 2 a.m., we encountered a newly married couple and the last vestiges of their wedding party. They were beaming with newly married euphoria, but inexplicably, were also interested in knowing what this Mile of Music thing was all about. So what do you want to know about Julia, Emily, that B-band, and Philip Michael Scales? So that's my Mile of Music story. Listen up. Enjoy the music, the songwriting, the passion these artists have for their craft. This year's festival is drawing to a close. Today's the last day. But there still may be time to see Sarah Clanton or the Arcadian Wild, if you hurry. The music, the shared memories, the excitement, the Mile of Music, and it's all ours.